Welcome to the Living Permaculture Show on Public Radio KDNK. My name is Stephanie Sison. My co-host Jerome will not be joining us today as he is on the East Coast picking up a new sailboat and fulfilling his dream of permaculture afloat. I'm sure he's enjoying the sunshine before the winter sets in, as many of us are doing. Last week, we celebrated the autumn equinox, one of only 2 days each year when the day and night are equal in length. As we move into fall and winter, the nights will get longer and longer. So on today's show, we're going to talk about what this time of year means to our gardens and to our health. Here to join the discussion is my business partner, dear friend, and botanical beauty from Netherland, Colorado, Kate Miller. Welcome to the show, Kate.
Hey there, Steph.
Hi, good to have you join us today.
It's great to be here.
So Kate and I met quite a while ago up at the Central Rocky Mountain Permaculture Institute here in Basalt. And I knew from the moment that I met her that I was completely in love. So when the opportunity, it's true. And if anyone has ever met you, they know it's true.
Oh, you're too sweet.
So when the opportunity presented itself for her to join Dynamic Roots as a partner, I was thrilled about that idea. And she joined and we've been having a great time ever since. While some of our listeners know about our company, Dynamic Roots, we don't often talk about it on the air, so I thought this would be a great opportunity to highlight the work we do and why we do it.
Yeah, so, it's a great idea.
Great, and I'm glad to have you here to join me. So Kate, would you like to start off just a brief overview of what Dynamic Roots does and why you wanted to be involved with it?
So Dynamic Roots High Altitude Herbals first attracted me because of the commitment that you not only had to bringing health to your communities, but doing so in a sustainable way. So over the last few years, working with both you and Don Rabel, who I'm sad isn't able to join us today, and we love you, Don, and we miss you, we've basically just been kind of evolving the company to be even more true to that mission. By growing a huge percentage of our herbs that we use in our herbal remedies, and specifically our teas and tinctures and body care items. So it's been great to kind of be a part of that journey, as you and Don had started the company already, and you were ready to grow, and I was definitely ready to step into that space as well. So it's been really great. We're really committed to bioregional herbalism, and especially the herbs that grow in the Rocky Mountains. So It's beautiful work just by that very nature, being able to spend time in this incredible climate that we get to live in.
Definitely agreed. And we work here locally to try to join with other vegetable farmers that are already currently producing and see if we can get them to grow more medicinal herbs. If anyone's familiar with the industry, it's a multi-billion dollar industry of herbal products. And a huge percent, 80-90% of our medicinal herbs currently come from out of this country, largely from China. And there's all kinds of issues with that kind of a supply chain. And we're really looking forward to encouraging local farmers and farmers all across the United States to join us and join other medicinal herb farmers to bring this part of agriculture back to the United States, or to the United States at all, and to bring medicinal herbs to the concept and the conversation of local food. Kate, do you feel like, I feel like sometimes I'm involved a lot in the local food movement here locally, but I find that medicinal herbs don't really get even a slight mention. Do you feel the same out there on the Front Range?
It's starting to pick up pretty slowly. I have a lot of conversations with especially young farmers, and we've talked about this a lot. Young farmers who are really committed to the local food movement and are just kind of struggling to make ends meet, and that's where this new herb market, this super niche, beautiful market, kind of steps in and being able to present this new opportunity for younger farmers especially. And you know, the older farmers, too, I think, who are starting to see that this is actually the more sustainable way, this is the more sustainable crop to kind of focus on, and it's that shift, that permaculture shift towards, you know, more perennial crops, easier to maintain, more drought tolerant, more heat tolerant, all of those things. So I think it's starting to pick up, and I think it will pick up even more. And that's the other reason I love working with Dynamic Roots so much, is I feel like we're a big piece in kind of facilitating that movement, both on the Western Slope and also on the Front Range. And I just hope to kind of share everything I've learned from my years of growing herbs, everything that you've learned from your years of growing herbs. We can just share that knowledge, and the movement is only going to just gain momentum.
Absolutely. So, Kate, I'd love to just get our listeners a little bit of background to your story and what kind of the elevator speech of how you got here and why herbs and health and gardening means so much to you. Were your parents into this, or did you
about
it? Okay.
For sure. So my upbringing was very much spent in the garden. And back when we're kids, and especially getting into adolescence for me, it wasn't necessarily where I wanted to be, but it was always where I would find those kind of quiet zen moments to reflect. And my mom was a huge part of that. All of my parents were a big part of that. And I just come from a family they're all earth lovers. And I also found herbs, like many people find herbal medicine, through my own health issues. So I still, you know, utilize herbs as basically my primary form of self-care, along with, you know, many other lifestyle techniques. And I find them to be nourishing. I find them to be nourishing not just on a physical level, but very much on a spiritual level. So that was sort of the button that I hit that really sent it into the sky with my study of herbs and my sort of life path commitment to studying herbs and growing herbs and working with herbs on a daily basis.
Beautiful. And can you tell us a little bit about the school that you studied with up there on the Front Range, as well as the business besides Dynamic Roots? You run Alpine Botanicals. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about that before we really dive into the meat of the conversation today.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So especially for all of you listeners out there, studying herbs is definitely an intense commitment to make. And I was really lucky to be in Boulder, where we have a wonderful herb school, the Colorado School of Clinical Herbalism, that is here in downtown Boulder. And it was just a fabulous program, very much focused on Western vitalist traditions of herbalism, though you do get to study up on other modalities such as traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, and some others in there. And that was a great sort of intensive way to just kind of jump right in and really get nitty-gritty, you know, learning all those Latin names, learning all the conditions, learning how to formulate. That was huge. And learning just kind of how to speak and, like, it's an entirely new language when you get into herbal medicine. And, you know, aside from just learning the botanical terms, you're really kind of approaching things in a completely different way. It's totally opposite from that allopathic way. So that really kind of sucked me in and gave me even more vigor to get even deeper into it. So that was sort of like the middle part of my journey when I was certified as an herbalist. And then shortly thereafter, my husband and I moved up to beautiful Netherland, Colorado, that everyone should come and visit at some point in their lives, because the leaves are changing right now, and it's just that great time of year. And we decided, after some time living up there and kind of seeing what was happening in the community, and that, you know, we're kind of really close to the Denver metro area in a way, but we're also sort of this other gateway to the Rockies, and we have our own needs as a community, especially in the healthcare realm. So there's been sort of different efforts at making apothecaries over the years, and I thought a lot about it. And as you know, we talk a ton about cooperation and collaboration among the herbal community, and that's happening more and more. And especially this last year, we found that was even more needed. We need an apothecary up there. So over the last 2 years, we've been designing and are getting ready to actually break ground on a beautiful community space that will offer not just Dynamic Roots as a product line, but be able to host and be a venue for all of these other product lines that are starting to pop up all over the place from the Rocky Mountain bioregion. So the focus being on, you know, our beautiful, somewhat abundant Rocky Mountain herbs, and also educating the public around what it means to actually ethically wildcraft or steward certain plant populations, because we do also have some sensitive plant populations, as you know. especially on the Front Range. So offering a store that really facilitates and kind of makes the connection between not just herbal medicine, but bioregional and sustainable and ethical herbal medicine. And then also being able to offer a clinic space where massage therapists and herbalists and all different kinds of healers can utilize the space and kind of open their services up to the mountain community of Nederland and kind of all the surrounding mountain towns that don't necessarily have access to that sort of healthcare yet.
Beautiful.
So it's really exciting.
Yeah, that's really exciting, Kate. I've been with you and hearing about this as it's progressed over some time now, and I can't wait to step my first steps into the beautiful business and community center that you're creating.
Me too. It'll be a fun party celebration for sure.
So our main topic of today, now that we've got to know Kate a little bit, is fall herbal harvests and fall health. As you probably got a clue, it's going to be all about herbs today, guys. So listen up. It's fun stuff. I'd love to jump right into the fall harvesting first, as this time of year, I often feel like a squirrel trying to collect as many nuts as possible before the snow flies, canning and drying and freezing and fermenting. And a lot of this is around vegetables and fruit. And I think a lot of the listeners are probably doing the same thing. But I'd like to talk a little bit about a whole other category of plants, just in case you didn't have enough to do. We're going to give you a few more plants and ideas for fall harvests. So a lot of these plants are currently available to us, medicinal and culinary herbs. Fall is a root season, and autumn is a time of harvest and abundance as the earth itself grows cooler. Digging for nourishing and medicinal roots gives us a close intimacy with the season and its generosity. I'm very excited to talk about the medicinal herbs that are ripe right now for the picking. So I'd love to invite you, Kate, and our listeners to guess this first herb. I'm going to give you a couple clues. It's a pretty easy one we're going to go out with. So it's in everyone's yard, sidewalk, crack, and garden. Poisons have been invented to get rid of it. Pavement has been laid down to smother it, and tools have been specifically designed to pull it. Yet here it is, cheerfully showing off its yellow flowers in spring. Its airborne seeds fly across the sky in summer as we make our wishes upon them. And come fall, the plant dutifully sends down all of summer's sunshine and rain into its roots. Guess that herb. Can you guess it, Kate?
Dandelion.
Of course. There it is. So I'd love for you to share with our listeners your feelings about this plant, dandelion, and how you feel it's best used or harvested at this time of year.
Oh, goodness. so many ideas. Well, you know, from all the conversations, we just love this plant so much, and it really deserves more of our respect and protection. I just want to say that.
Absolutely.
So dandelion, wonderful. So you can use dandelion in so many different ways. This time of year, I'm waiting until it gets a little bit colder. So because it is a root, it's best harvested before its energy goes out into the stalks to create flowers and big, abundant, bitter leaves. So it's best harvested either early spring before it flowers, or basically around here on the Front Range, it's going to be a couple more weeks before we really get to that point where the leaves die off. But that's when I harvest it, is after really around the first frost or getting into that time.
Right. And for us out here, if any of our listeners are at elevation, they probably already got the first frost. So
yeah, they might have gotten it already. Same with up in Netherlands. We're there too. So yeah, it's a good time of year to harvest it. And I love to either fresh tincture it, after you dig up the root, you know, chop it up, wash some of the dirt off. I don't usually wash all of it off. And I chop it up, and then I fresh tincture it, and it's easy to make a folk tincture, and there's lots of resources to do that. And it's just a really wonderful, nourishing, and also detoxifying herb for the entire body, not just the liver, although it's commonly seen as just a liver herb, but it's really helpful with all sorts of different body systems, including the digestive system, which is obviously your liver is part of the digestive system, but it's also a gentle lymphatic, so it's helping move lymphatic fluid through your body and helping your immune system through that action and helping kind of pull toxins out in a lot of different ways. So it's just a great one. And we love the flowers too, right, Steph?
Yes, they're beautiful. We can use the entire plant. And I work with the Rifle Corrections Facility out at the Basalt Food Park quite a bit, and that's kind of their running joke with me when a new fellow joins the crew and we go through to do some weeding. They have a big laugh at my expense that if any of them get caught pulling a dandelion, that I'm just gonna like lose it on them. So I don't think I've ever lost it on any of them, but we do have it. It's a great opportunity to have a conversation about what a weed is and what a weed is not.
Yes.
And a plant like dandelion, that every single part of it is edible and medicinal. And in a time period in humanity when we are almost all suffering from over-toxification of the environment and our bodies, these herbs that help to heal us from these toxins and help improve our own detoxification systems are really valuable. And I hope there's a time coming soon when everyone who looks at a dandelion or some of the other herbs we're going to talk about looks at them with love and respect instead of anything else. And we're here in Carbondale where we celebrate the dandelion every year with the Dandelion Festival. So I think we're in good company out here.
Yeah. I also wanted to say with the dandelion and those other really great fall roots that we'll be talking about too, these are food herbs. And like you're saying, every part of the whole plant is edible. And this is a great time of year to start, you know, fixing up your nourishing bone broths. Or if you're a vegetarian, you can use mushrooms and other herbs. And fresh dandelion root just adds this delicious kind of starchy quality. It's, you know, really doesn't taste that different than like a carrot or a turnip or something like that. So it doesn't need to be like this alien thing. It's actually really, you know, we're returning back to what our ancestors ate, and it's amazing medicine, and in most cases, it's free. So that's awesome too.
Right, free and abundant. You don't have to plant it or take care of it or any of those things. The next plant, I'll give you a little hint. In fall, they're tall, greenish, inconspicuous flower stalks turn a reddish brown and flag our attention in their second year. This is another biennial herb. When in doubt, dig it out. Digging these roots will reveal the yellow-orange color, which can confirm the identity. Can you guess it, Kate?
It's dock.
Right. Dock, yellow dock, curly dock, Rumex crispus, a really wonderful plant that we have a ton of growing around here. Would you like to speak to the yellow dock?
Sure. So I also let the dock grow all over my garden, unless it's taking over where the tulsi's growing, and then I help the tulsi out. But the dock is great, either yellow or curly dock. They're both great. It's also, as you said before, with the dandelion, it's another commonly sprayed weed because it does take over. It has those incredible, beautiful, almost like buckwheat-esque flower seeds that spread everywhere. But I love yellow dock. It's commonly used as a blood builder. So it's not even just that it has high iron content. It's all the different cofactors that your body needs to build healthier and more abundant red blood cells. So it's a great herb for pregnant women when it's used with caution. When I was in herb school, we used to talk about a blood builder tonic that was made by infusing dock with dandelion into molasses, and it was like this delicious blood builder syrup. So it can be used that way. It's great dried. It's a gentle aperient, which means laxative. So it's not as intense of a laxative as something like senna leaf, but it's a really wonderful way to kind of get things moving and help with elimination and stagnation in any way. And it's just a great nourishing mineral and vitamin-rich herb. That's another great one. And I typically use the root more than I use the leaves just because the leaves are so incredibly bitter. But the root is just great.
Absolutely. So you are listening to Living Permaculture on Public Radio KDNK. This is Stephanie here with Kate Miller from Nederland, Colorado, talking about medicinal herbs and fall harvests and fall health. So another herb I wanted to, I don't have a guessing game for this one, so we'll just have to go for it. Another super common food grade herb would be burdock, and we have a lot around here. As a word of caution for folks who are harvesting some of these herbs, burdock, as well as some of the others we've mentioned, because they are considered weeds, and burdock is on the Colorado Class C invasive list, we really need to make sure that we're harvesting these from clean spaces and really start thinking about the possibility of harvesting these herbs as opposed to spraying them as control methods and keeping our lands clean. Burdock itself binds with heavy metals and all kinds of toxins and helps clean landscapes, but we have to be careful when we're harvesting things for medicine that bioaccumulate toxins like burdock does, so that we're not taking in those toxins. So burdock is doing a lot of those things for us as well in our body, binding with toxins, but it also does that for the landscape. So really being careful to keep our lands clean and watching where we harvest from, and encouraging everyone to keep clean and healthy lands. So burdock, Kate, what's your feelings on this lovely plant?
I think burdock would be probably one of my top three herbs, which is really tricky. So burdock is just an incredible inulin-rich, awesome starchy root. And you can also use the seeds and leaves, but I'll mainly focus on the root right now since it is root time. So burdock root, as I said, is very rich in a prebiotic starch called inulin. And it's a prebiotic, so you've probably heard of probiotics. Most of us have. So prebiotics feed the good bacteria. So when we take our acidophilus supplement in the morning, it's great to actually also have prebiotic foods, because that's providing some of the fuel for those good bacteria to kind of proliferate and outweigh the bad bacteria in our bodies. So that kind of brings me into thinking about the gut microbiome. Burdock is one of the premier herbs for helping to treat any kind of negative bacterial overgrowth in the digestive tract. So it's a great herb to turn to if you have any sort of digestive upset going on. It does have prebiotics, as I said, so introducing it kind of slowly if you're not used to eating, you know, any fermented foods or probiotic supplements or anything like that. It's a great herb to take as a tea, because that inulin is a saccharide, so it, you know, it will kind of be destroyed if you just extract it in alcohol. But burdock also has a lot of other really awesome alcohol-soluble constituents that we can use to help our liver and our lymph system. So it's awesome for a lot of different things. And just about the gut microbiome, I think there's just been so much research coming out lately.
Yeah, this has been really, the gut microbiome has been all over the place recently. It's getting really hot and a lot of attention, well-deserved.
Exactly. So it's just one of my favorite herbs to kind of address gut issues and that immune system, nervous system, gut connection. It addresses that in such a beautiful way. And it's tasty as a tea. The root is really tasty as a tea. And it's also tasty as a tincture. So I often combine that with dandelion root, since dandelion root also has inulin, but it has some other really great things. And they just work really synergistically together. So I love burdock.
Would you ever think of putting it, and this is thought has been coming to my mind recently as I'm making a lot more sauerkraut right now, and fermented vegetables, but what are some herbs, and would burdock, in your opinion, be a good candidate to start adding to some of our fermented mixes?
Oh, for sure. And I actually think that there are a lot of traditional Japanese foods that incorporate the gobo burdock root already, and it's really great to ferment it, because then you're getting the whole package. You're getting the prebiotic inulin, you're getting the fermented probiotics. So you're literally giving your body everything it needs to kind of do that good work in your gut microbiome. So I would definitely consider adding that. I love making sauerkraut, and you can pretty much add any of these edible roots. I mean, unless they're very, very extremely bitter and you wouldn't want them in there. But as I said, after the first frost, that burdock root's getting sweeter, the dandelion root's getting sweeter, and both of those would be great added to sauerkraut for sure.
So, Kate, we kind of knew this was going to happen, and we are quickly approaching the end of the show. I would love for you to throw out your contact information in case anyone wants to hear, get in touch with you about anything, these things, or hear more about what you're doing on the Front Range.
For sure. So you can reach me at my Dynamic Roots email address. It's kate@dynamicroots.com. And you can also check out Alpine Botanicals, and that's just kate@alpinebotanicals.com. So it's really easy, and you can check out the website. We've got a Facebook page and an Instagram. You can kind of keep up with what we're doing. We're always trying to move with the seasons, and much of what we talk about is kind of seasonal and bioregionally related.
Beautiful. So we have a couple of announcements, or just one. If this topic has intrigued you and you would like to learn more about medicinal herbs and how to grow and process them into teas and tinctures and all these things, we have a workshop here in the Roaringfork Valley at Sustainable Settings Ranch in Carbondale, October 8th. So email rose@sustainablesettings.org or call 970-963-6107. We hope that you've enjoyed today's show and that you feel inspired and empowered to use the gifts that nature provides in new and exciting ways. I'll leave you with a quote by J.J. Britton, "And the autumn clutches the forest green in a hasty and eager clasp, but the leaves are true to the summer they love, and they wither and fade in his grasp." Thank you for listening to the Living Permaculture Show. We'll see you next month.